Most memoirs of children coming out as gay, whether written by a parent or the child, deal with the child's anxiety about revealing his sexual orientation to his parents and the parent's struggle, successful or otherwise, to accept the news. John Schwartz's new book, Oddly Normal, is different. John and his wife believed their son Joseph was gay when he was still a toddler, and they felt his need to keep it a secret was the source of other social and emotional problems he was experiencing, and they looked forward eagerly to his coming out to them. The book is published by Gotham Books, and I'm very pleased that it brings John Schwartz, who, when he's not writing memoirs, is a national correspondent for the New York Times, to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
You suspected that Joseph was gay from a very early age. What made you think so? Isn't sexuality rather fluid until the child gets a bit older?
Sexuality can be fluid. Joseph was pretty different. We had had a daughter who was very girly. We had a son who was had a lot of yang. And Joseph was the one who was so much like his sister, was so drawn to things like feather boas and the sparkly tops that he would grab, and he was so drawn to his sister's things and was so interested in, as he said to my wife when he dressed up for Halloween, "Do I look like a disco yeti?" You know, he simply was very flamboyant, and it didn't mean that we were convinced. We just thought, well, he could be gay. This could be interesting as he grows older.
Well, as a society, aren't we struggling not to categorize boys so early, to let them explore the world as freely as we let little girls? I mean, plenty of girls can be Peter Pan or Captain Hook for Halloween without stigma, but let a boy dress as Wendy and alarm bells go off.
Well, that's entirely true. And for the most part, we wanted Joe to develop as he would. We didn't at three say, oh, and by the way, we think you're gay. We just were observing, hanging back, and letting him pursue his interests.
Because it could be a phase that he was just going
exactly
through.
Exactly right. And you don't know how a kid is going to turn out. But we just sort of kept in the back of our minds the idea that this is interesting. This is something to watch.
How did he relate to his brother and sister?
Well, they are older. His older sister is about 8 years older than he is. His older brother is about 5.5 years older than he is. He felt a real bond with his sister. And he loves his brother, but especially as they grew older, they just diverged. Sammy, the older brother, is a terrific athlete. He was a varsity high school football player, lacrosse, wrestling. And Joseph was all about music and singing, and they just went on different paths, but they never conflicted.
And he started reading at a very early age.
Oh, yes, he was reading like crazy. He was reading the Harry Potter books, I believe around kindergarten. I mean, he just was always had his nose in a book and was reading above grade level. It was fun to watch him.
And when you sent him to kindergarten, I'm assuming you were living in a liberal community, something that reflected your own values.
Well, we were living in the New Jersey suburbs, and those towns are sort of purple places, right? There are a lot of people voting Republican, a lot of people voting Democratic, but you're so close to New York, it's not a very judgmental place.
Mm-hmm. You took his Barbies away from him when he was fairly young?
My wife decided around kindergarten that he loved playing with Barbies, and this was another of the cues, not absolute signals, but cues. And he loved playing with Barbies, and as my wife Jean said, Barbie never looked so fabulous. His fashion sense in dressing Barbie with her was splendid. And when it came time for him to go off to school, she decided that the one thing she didn't want was for him to do something in school that would bring the other kids to say things like, "Why are you doing that? That's a girl thing." So she hid the Barbies from him.
Although we do know there are any number of straight fashion designers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, none of this was the big finger coming down from the sky and saying something. This was just a sense that we had that we were fine with and then turned out to be true.
So how did he adjust to school? Did he make friends?
He did well at first. As the kids started to differentiate, as the boys became more boyish and the girls became more girly, he was more alone. The boys in this school could talk to you about the Giants lineup. They had their sports that they wanted to talk about. They were out all weekend playing on the soccer field, and Joe wasn't interested in any of that. But the girls, as they got older, didn't really want to have a lot to do with the boys either. So Joe was kind of stuck in the middle.
And what was the response of his teacher? We're talking about the first grade now, aren't we?
Right.
Were things different in kindergarten?
No, the kindergarten teacher was terrific, and she was very supportive of Joe. And if the class was doing something that he wasn't fascinated by, she was fine with him going off and putting his nose back in a book.
But then in the first grade, there were always a few nerdy boys.
And that should have been okay. Every year is different, and every teacher will tell you that Joe had a lot of problems in second grade, for instance, and the kids were picking on him, bullying him, messing with him, trying to get him to melt down. And the teacher said to us, look, I'm really sorry. This is just not the group of kids for Joe. The group last year would have been much more accommodating.
Well, he had a quick temper. He had
And a lip.
He had impulse control. He didn't have a good sense of appropriate interpersonal space. And several times it was suggested to you by various professionals that he might either be ADHD or be placed somewhere on the autism spectrum. Did you ever have him tested for Asperger's? Because this sounds kind of like what we might
expect from an
Asperger's
kid. Well, he's certainly socially awkward, and social awkwardness is a part of the Asperger's spectrum.
He didn't enjoy play dates with other kids?
He had kids that he liked, but he was pretty isolated, and he didn't do well with other kids, especially in those years. And along with autism spectrum disorder, people were suggesting he might have oppositional defiance disorder, and one teacher suggested he might be bipolar, and the labels came and came and came. We took him to psychologists, and their views were, some said that he might have Asperger's or be somewhere on the spectrum in those early years, and others said, let's see how he turns out.
Well, he also had trouble with things like noise levels in the cafeteria, and that's something that's very typical of autistic kids.
Yes, it is. And so eventually there was a diagnosis that didn't seem badly far off. At one point, one of the doctors who saw him suggested that it might be PDD-NOS, which is a sort of autism spectrum, but not with the very, very deep problems that can come with autism itself or some of the characteristics of Asperger's. Because while some of the things that were going on with Joe looked like Asperger's, others did not.
Well, you fought very hard to not have him diagnosed as Asperger's. No two Asperger's kids are alike, but a lot of parents like pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified PDD-NOS, because it doesn't stigmatize the kid.
Well,
was that a concern
of
yours?
That was one of the problems we were dealing with. Some people in the schools had suggested that if we got him classified and if we started putting diagnostic labels on him, he would be moved off into less challenging schoolwork, and his opportunities would be limited. And so we were listening to them and being very careful. On the other hand, we wanted him to get accommodation if it could help. And so over time, we've learned that a label doesn't have to absolutely limit him. But there were times early on when we felt that was the idea, that once you put a label on him, you could move him over here.
My guest is John Schwartz, who is a national correspondent for The New York Times. He's covered a wide range of topics over the years, law, science, technology, business, and some other things. He's written now two memoirs. This one is called Oddly Normal, One Family Struggles to Help Their Teenage Son Come to Terms with His Sexuality. Well, if you were worried about all these labels, whether it was OCD or ADHD or Asperger's or autism, why were you so open to having him labeled gay so early in his life?
It seemed to us that was a label that explained without limiting. It seemed to us that a lot of the stress that Joe was experiencing was affecting his behavior. And if we were trying to figure out what the cause of the stress was, that this being different and being different for this reason made a lot of sense to us. It's not that we were hanging the label around his neck and telling him, but we were trying to go to teachers and say, look, we think that there is an issue here that's got him feeling isolated. We think this might be it. And we think that some of the behaviors that we're seeing are related to that.
But there are an awful lot of gay kids who do perfectly well in school.
Exactly. In fact, most do.
So at some point, it seems like the school is just asking you to get Joseph to do As a teacher asks.
Well,
and well, what was your response to that?
We talked to Joe. We told him to work with the teachers as best he could. Some teachers he worked beautifully with. The teachers who saw the classroom as a place for one type of teaching, one type of learning, and imposed a power struggle, those years were disasters.
Did you ever ask Joseph what he thought the problem was?
Not in so many words.
You write a 25 or 30-page manual describing Joseph and his peculiarities and suggesting ways for the teacher to deal with them to avoid confrontations and standoffs. What kind of information and suggestions did you include?
There were a few things. We said that Joseph has a temper, but that if you let him go outside for a minute, he'll come back completely calmed down as if nothing had happened a couple of minutes later. And that if you don't force him to sit in his chair when this happens, but let him do that, things will go better. Joseph at that time, in those elementary school years, had a way of coping with tension. He would bite the back of his hand. And it looked awful. And it would freak people out. But he never broke the skin. He wasn't hurting himself except to sort of focus his attention. And if he did it for a minute, he'd be fine again.
But
so we were saying, please, you know, if you see these things, let them happen. Don't in the middle of his tension then say, and don't do that either. Don't make things worse.
I've spoken to teachers who see this from a different point of view. You yourself admit that you were the kind of intense helicopter parent who believed that that his kid deserves special attention. Teachers hate that.
Some teachers do. Other teachers don't. There's teachers who have had special education training have told me that who dealt with Joe told me that they see this approach that says not just with kids who are special needs, but all kids in the classroom can be treated a little differently, that you can adapt your teaching to them and the results are better throughout the classroom. But if a teacher is a my way or the highway type, then it's not going to be good for Joe, and it's not going to be good for a lot of other kids either.
So did you think it would be better for him to be in a special needs class rather than being mainstreamed?
No, I think it would be better for him to be in a mainstream class with teachers who are more flexible.
When and why?
And that's proved to be what's worked out. I mean, the teachers who have that background have been terrific.
Mm-hmm. When and why did you start to believe that his repressed sexuality was the root of his problem?
Well, again, in late elementary school, he was starting to talk about having a secret, and the secret was very dark. He didn't talk about it. He didn't explain it, but he was under a lot of pressure. He was being bullied terribly in fourth grade by a teacher who singled him out. He singled out one or two kids every year, and Joseph was the kid who got it that year. And
makes it a lot harder in dealing with the other kids when a teacher is singling you out. It's kind of saying to the other kids, you can pick on this child.
Right, here's the scapegoat. And it was an awful year. It sent Joseph into a real tailspin emotionally. And
how old was he then?
Well, he's fourth grade, so I guess is that 10 years old, mm-hmm. I think. And that was the year that, in fact, his stress level grew so great that Joseph was hearing voices, and it took a long time for him to get past that. So in that time, he was also, it seemed to us, having more problems with this feeling that he had a secret that he couldn't really talk about, and we would try to get him to open up about it. He didn't want to talk about it. In fact, he became more of a closed box to us during that time.
You had to check his browser to see what websites he looked at. An invasion of privacy.
It is an invasion of privacy, and if I weren't his father, I'd be very upset about it. But I think that it's an acceptable thing for parents to see what their kids are doing. I've done it with all three kids over time. And it wasn't that I was going to punish them for where they went, but I wanted to make sure they weren't getting into trouble.
And what did you find out?
Well, I found out that Joe's browser history showed that he was very interested in looking at pictures of men. In the same way that his older brother had been very interested in looking at pictures of women. And again, I didn't punish Sam and I didn't punish Joe, but it helped me know them a little better, and I was glad that I did it.
A listener writes in, Richard from the Upper West Side, what effect will the publication of this book have upon the child when he's an adult?
Well, the first thing you need to know is that I wouldn't have proposed the book if I hadn't talked to Joe about it first. And I told him that I was thinking of proposing it, and he said, I think you should do it. That
How old was he when you said that?
He was either 15 or 16. It was in that year. And I said, well, wait a minute. You need to know that this book is not going to be – I mean, you're the hero of the tale, but there are going to be embarrassing things in it. You know, as we talk about in the book, Joseph had a suicide attempt at 13. Said, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the hospital. And Joseph, being Joseph, said, I said, do it. And so he's participated. He's read the book, worked with me on the book. The last chapter of the book is written by Joseph. So he's a partner in this. But what's it going to mean when he's an adult? I hope that he's as proud of the book then as he is today.
Was he ever put on meds?
He was put on meds after the suicide attempt. He was in a hospital for a couple of weeks, a psychiatric hospital. And that was when he got the diagnosis of PDD-NOS, and that was when he was also given a diagnosis of depression, which is not surprising considering what had just happened, and they put him on an antipsychotic drug. And I said, well, why an antipsychotic drug if the question is depression? And the doctor very carefully went through the reasons, including the fact that antidepressants in young people can involve what's called activation, and that an antidepressant with someone who might have committed suicide might give them the energy to commit suicide without limiting the impulsivity that might cause it.
How and when did he finally come out to you?
He came out at 13. It was the end of seventh grade. We'd been building toward it. Gene, my wife, and I had been at the recommendation of friends encouraging him indirectly to come out by bringing up more gay issues at home, talking about newspaper stories, just working these themes into the conversation. Instead of taking a topic that might be uncomfortable and ignoring it, which is the normal family thing, these friends said, without pushing, push. And so Joseph got the sense that, I think, that it was just fine to come out.
Well, it's a liberating experience for people who come out. But he attempted suicide after that.
Well, that's right. When he came out to us, it was fine. When he came out at school, it was a more explosive, argumentative moment.
He was in middle school.
He was in middle school. It was the end of middle school. There wasn't much structure in the classroom. They were done with the classwork for the year, essentially. And he came out in a sort of a tantrum-y way. And it went poorly. It went so poorly, in fact, that some of the boys from that discussion where he said, you guys, you always talk about girls, you talk about gays, you talk about girls this way, you rate them. Well, I'm going to rate you. You're a 5. You're a 7. You're a 9. And the boys went to a school administrator and said that they felt intimidated by that they'd felt they'd been bullied, in fact. And whatever Joseph...
But they didn't feel they were bullying the girls when they did something like
no,
that.
No, of course not. That's just being guys, right? You can be a knucklehead without consequence, apparently. But anyway, it went so badly that that day Joseph came home and gathered up all the Benadryl we had in the house and took dozens of them.
Was he relieved when he was committed to an adolescent psychiatric ward?
I wouldn't call it relieved. I think that the major relief came from simply being out, being past it, realizing that we were fine, and opening up at that moment to things that now allowed him to take part in a community. In other words, several weeks after the suicide attempt, a couple of weeks after, he was supposed to go to summer camp. It was going to be his first time at summer camp.
A drama camp.
And it was theater camp. Mm-hmm. Well, talk about a community. I talked to the director of the camp, and he said, send him anyway. This is a therapeutic environment. He'll do better here. I don't want him sitting in his room thinking about what happened. Send him. And so we did send him, and here's this community. And then we have the Gay Center here in Manhattan on 13th Street. We started bringing him there for the youth activities. And so the real relief is not being in a hospital, but knowing you're not alone.
So now you would describe him as being gay and also having a pervasive developmental disorder not otherwise specified, the PDD-NOS?
If somebody insists on a label, that's one that we can give. In fact, in the last evaluation done at school at the age of 16, the psychiatrist who is tied to the school looked at him and told me, this is Asperger's. And I said, okay, what is the practical importance? What is the practical effect of your saying this now?
Because people know how to deal with Asperger's.
And he said, well, now people know how to deal with Asperger's, but also it wasn't in any way going to affect the way he was treated academically. It was going to allow a little bit of latitude for dealing with any behavioral problems he had in school. And it went into his individual education plan, his IEP. And we said, you know, go ahead. Your label is fine. We don't use it at home. We feel that the proper diagnostic term for Joseph Schwartz is quirky or squirrely or awkward. But if you need this, we'll take it.
Now, just one more thing, because we're pretty much out of time. People who attempt suicide often attempt it again. Were you concerned that
we were
he
very
might
concerned.
Try that?
We were very concerned. But things opened up so much after Joseph not only came out but found these friends in the community. And so many of the socially awkward behaviors that he had shown over time diminished that we feel pretty good about him.
Joseph, John Schwartz will be reading and signing books tonight at Blue Stockings at 7 o'clock. That's at 172 Allen Street between Stanton and Rivington. And then tomorrow he will be reading and signing books at Words Bookstore in Maplewood, New Jersey. That's at 7:30. The book, Oddly Normal, is published by Gotham Books. And I want to thank you so much for coming by to talk about it.
Thanks very much.